Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, turn to 1 Timothy 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Here, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. You know, that's the only fight that we have really to fight, is the fight of faith. You know, now the enemy's going to always come around with every kind of temptation and trial and test, and he gonna throw trouble at you. As we say where I come from down in Texas, they throw everything at you but the kitchen sink. Anybody ever heard that one before? Yeah, I guess most of us have. Now, all that he throws at you is to get you out of fighting the good fight of faith. You know, some Christians fight one another in the church. Some Christians fight, this group fights the other group. But really, the only fight that we're called to fight is the fight of faith. Now, in one sense of the word, we're really not fighting the devil in one sense of the word. And we're really not fighting sin. Now, you know, and you say, well, why would you say it? Because they've already been defeated for us in Jesus Christ, in his redemptive work at Calvary. So, you know, the good fight of faith for us is fighting to keep the word of God alive in our lives and keep it coming out of our mouth, testifying or confessing what Jesus has already done for us. You know, back in the 50s, you know, there was some of you are old enough to remember this. Everybody's always concerned about Russia going to give us drop a nuclear bomb on us or a bomb and everything. And how many of you, I don't remember, they were building houses and stuff with bomb shelters in them. How many of you remember that? Yeah. And now they bet we have to build them with tornado shelters. But, you know, anytime, if Russia had done something, it wouldn't have done any good to attack another nation. They're not the ones causing the problem. We got to attack the one that's causing the problem. And many times when people are trying to fight the good fight of faith, they attacking or going against the wrong thing. You know, so what I'm trying to say to you is that we have to keep fighting the good fight of faith. That's our fight. You know, if we're going to be victorious, then we have to fight the right battle. If you're fighting the wrong battle, you're not going to be victorious. Hello. Now, look at Abraham. Abraham had to fight the good fight of faith. Now, he had to believe what God told him when he said to go to a land and he didn't even know where he was going. He said, Abraham, he didn't know where he's going. He's looking for a place, but he didn't even know where it was. He just know God said to go. You know, he had to fight to believe the word of God, what God said, because I'm sure some of his servants and maybe even people in his own household say, Abraham, where are we going? I don't know. I'm just following God. I'm sure they were saying, well, what use is this, and so forth and so on. And then he had to fight to believe God's word about having a son, even though in the natural it was impossible. Now, he had to say his name, Abraham, every time he introduced himself to somebody, what meant father of many, and he didn't have any before he ever had a son. He had to keep fighting the fight of faith. He had to believe what God said and then say it. He had to believe what God said and then say it, and he did. See, he had to believe that his descendants would be like the stars. He had to believe that his descendants would be of the great, you know. He had to fight the good fight of faith. How did he do this? How was he able to maintain in a world like this? Well, he was able to maintain his fight of faith by continuing to meditate on what God said. Continue to meditate on what God said, the promise that God had given him. He kept believing that. And he might have got off by himself, and because he had to keep himself built up. I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many. I'm Abraham. I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many. See, that's him fighting the fight of faith. He is believing what God said to him, and now he is verbalizing it. Fighting the good fight of faith is believing what God said and then verbalizing it. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. He had to go out every night and look up at the stars and say, my seed will be as innumerable as the stars. Every day when he walked on the sand, he had to say, my seed, their descendants shall be as innumerable as the grains of sand, because that's what the Lord told him. Go read it. Hey, y'all there? Y'all gone home already? It's not time to go home yet. So come back to church. Now, he had to continually surround himself with everything that pointed toward what the promise of God said. If you're going to fight the good fight of faith, you have to surround yourself with that which points you toward the promises of God. They tell you all the time, you go to leadership meetings or whatever kind of meetings you want, surround yourself with people that will help you keep your vision alive and implement it. You can't keep something going in the spiritual world or the business world if you've got a bunch of people surrounding you that don't believe in the project, that don't want to do the project. You're not going to get nothing done, because they're going to drag against you. How many of you in business realize that's the truth? You've got to surround yourself with people that will, that are helpers, not hinderers. We have to surround the spiritual area. We have to continually surround ourselves with the things that remind us of what God's promises are. That's fighting the good fight of faith. You can't roll up your sleeves and fight the good fight of faith. You know. Now, it took Abraham a while, but he won the faith battle. He won the good fight of faith. It didn't happen overnight. Somewhere around 17 years before he finally had a son. But he kept fighting the good fight of faith. What I want you to get a hold of is that it doesn't matter. You've got to keep fighting the good fight of faith. And the good fight of faith is you keep believing what God said, you keep saying what the promises say, and you keep doing this, and you surround yourself with people that are like-minded. Many people are trying to believe God for something, and they surround themselves with people that are not like-minded. If you want to be positive, they tell you this, you know, in psychology and in other areas. If you want to be positive, then you surround yourself with positive people. Don't surround yourself with a bunch of melancholy, down in the dumps, negative people. How many of you ever heard that? You know, it just seemed like in human nature, we seem, whatever we around is what begins to be a part of us. You know, I noticed this when I was in the service 2 years overseas, that I'm around people that are speaking English with a sort of an accent, because I was in Taipei, Taiwan, which was most of them were Mandarin Chinese, and I began to catch myself speaking some English words with the way they say them. Anybody else here that's ever done that? Oh, I see some of my missionary people here raising their hands. You're surrounded with that all the time, and all of a sudden you begin to pick that up. Unconsciously you do it. You begin to talk like them. Well, what we need to surround ourselves with people that are continuing to speak faith, and we'll speak faith. How many of you ever noticed, you don't have to be, you go around maybe some of your family members, or go back some of your old friends, and you're around them for a little while, and if you're not careful, you'll begin to notice that they begin to drain you of some of your strong spiritual stuff. How many ever noticed that? You have to surround yourself and stay with those of like mind. Now, as we get into this, how can we fight the good fight of faith? People are always asking, how do I win the good fight of faith? Well, primarily, you pay attention to things that I've been saying, and I'm going to say them all over again. But number one, you feed on the Word of God. To fight the good fight of faith, you have to feed on the Word of God. Now, when Jesus was being tempted, in Matthew 4:4, he said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, the Word is a prerequisite, or a better way to say it was, the Word is a requirement if you want to fight the good fight of faith. It is required. How many of you have ever been maybe in school and this is required if you're going to take this subject? You're required to take this if you're going to take this. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, if you want to be victorious, it's required that you learn the Word of God. It's a requirement. It's not just something you do. It's required. Every spiritual battle you fight, every battle that you come in contact with, financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, socially, whatever, every battle that you fight, you need to use the Word of God to fight with. You fight with the Word of God. You fight with your mouth. You see, the devil will talk you out of daily feeding on the Word of God if he can. Oh, you're running late this morning. If I was you, I'd just, hey, you can get it. You better hurry, and you can catch up tonight. Everybody's laughing because all of us have had that, right? See, he will do whatever he can to get you out of feeding the Word of God. You know, many times we will do something that it's probably not too good, and that is we come up against a problem and we know the Word of God, so we just quote the Word of God. I remember my dad could quote half of the New Testament, and some of you know that, have been around him. But you know what? I would see, we would be talking about at home, you know, when I was a teenager, we'd be talking about financial problems or whatever. Even though he could quote it, we're sitting around the table talking, and he would get the Bible out, and he'd say, here, kids, this is what the Bible says. Even though he could quote it, he would get it out and read it. Sometimes you need to get, you know, even though you can quote the Word, even though you can quote what the Word of God says about your healing, and, you know, 1 Peter 2:24, even though you can quote, my God shall supply all of my needs, even though you can quote, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, all those things, sometimes, you know, you need to actually get it out and read it. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. You know, Satan tries so hard to get us away from the knowledge of God's word, because he knows if he can get us away from being armed with the knowledge of God's word, he is capable of taking us down every time. To fight the good fight of faith, you got to be armed with the word. If you're going into a firefight, you got to be armed with the proper weaponry. How many military guys I got here? Is that not a statement that they teach us when they're teaching us about whether it's hill assault or whatever? You got to have the proper armament. You got to have the proper weapons, in other words. You know, if you're going into hand-to-hand combat, then you got to have proper knowledge to use a bayonet or use your hands in hand-to-hand fighting. You're not gonna do too much damage to a jet aircraft with a rifle firing off of the ground, but you're gonna have to have big guns shooting what they call anti-aircraft fire. Or nowadays, that's the old days. Nowadays, it's a missile. Heat-seeking missiles. See, you got to be, if you're gonna win in this fight of faith, you got to have the right weapons. If the devil can talk you out of feeding on the Word of God, then he can take your weaponry away from you. When he takes your weaponry away from you, he can defeat you. The Word of God tells us that you'll know the truth, and it shall set you free. John 8, 31 and 32, we all know it, but let's go read it. Most of you can quote it. Let's go read this, John 8, 31 and 32. All right. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He said, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples. and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth, the word of God, will set you free. Now, number two, if you're going to win and fight the good fight of faith, see, number one was feed on the word of God. Number two is believe the word of God. Believe it. And of course, you know where I'm going here, Mark 11:23. For surely I say to you, whoever says this mountain be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Now I want you to notice that I looked down and I read this. I can quote it. All of you, most of you can quote it. But sometimes you just need to go and read it. If you have to, just slow down and pronounce every word. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever, that's me, I'm a whoever, says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. See, if you do it that way, all of a sudden, as you pause with each word, the Lord can show you some things as you're reading it. Now, notice this verse mentions not doubting in your heart, indicating it's with the inner man, the spirit man on the inside. See, before we understand all that, we got to go back and we got to understand that we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Hello. You just don't pursue intellectually the Word of God. You can fill your head with the Word of God all you want to, but until you fill your spirit with the Word of God, you haven't accomplished much. I didn't say you didn't accomplish anything, but I said you hadn't accomplished much. Hello? You know, don't look at the Word of God intellectually. Look at the Word of God to be have a revelation on the inside of you. People are always saying, well, when you get the revelation of this, it'll cause you to win. And you get the revelation of this. Hey, what they're saying is, you've got to really see it from the inside, not just from here. And you've heard me use this many, many times, but I'll use it again because it illustrates my point. I stood right here, because this is where the pulpit was going to, in fact, underneath there is where it is. It can come up if necessary, if they hadn't taken it out. I don't know, they may have taken it out. Anyway, it's on a lift. And there wasn't nothing here but bare ground, okay? And I had Tony and all the associates here standing with me. And I said, here is the pulpit, guys. There's the audience. This is the platform, the choir and everything. You know, I'm standing here. Now, I have a revelation of it in here. It's in me. All there, until it become a reality in them, they couldn't see it. They said they could see it, but all they were doing was intellectually getting a hold of it. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. Do you realize many times you sit on the pew and you listen to a minister preach and you intellectually get a hold and agree with what he's saying, but it never really becomes a part of you down here in your spirit? That's the way it is with everything. If you're going to be successful in anything, it has to become a part of you, not just intellectually. Now, of course, we go to the third one, and you already know what that is. Speak the word of God. And, of course, we go back to Mark 11:23. And it says, we talk about whoever says to this mountain. Now, nothing will happen in the fight of faith until you speak. You can pull your weapon. With what I was in, most of the time we just had a sidearm because we were doing communications and stuff. So we had a rifle, but it's sitting over here. You can't get to it. I'm typing on a radio teletype or I'm talking to the microphone. So I had a .45 right here. Now, if I'm in a dangerous situation and I have to pull out that .45, that weapon is good for me as long as I'll pull the trigger. If I won't pull the trigger, I will be taken advantage of. Come on. That's one of the things they teach us in the military, and that's one of the things that people need to know. If you have a weapon and you pull it, you have to already, before you ever pull it, you have to have made up your mind, I will pull this trigger. If you haven't made up your mind to do that, you're a dead man. How many military people, am I right or wrong on that? I got my military, they tell you, that's correct. Oh, about 3 or 4 years ago, you read it in the paper. Some people broke into a pastor's house. He pulled his weapon, but they killed him because he wouldn't pull the trigger. And I told my wife, I said, if you're going to pull a weapon, before you ever pull it, make sure you'll pull the trigger. You see, I can be armed I can know the word of God and be armed with it, but until I speak it, nothing happens. I can be armed with weaponry that I can defend myself with, but until I'm willing to use it, it does me no good. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. I'm talking about fighting a good fight of faith. This is just another, I teach faith a little different, but I've heard my dad teach all of this all my life, but I teach it a little different. Every generation is going to teach it a little different than what the other generation did. You know, some people say, well, I quoted some scripture and I'm still having a problem. Words spoken intellectually will do you no good. Words spoken with a real belief, a real revelation from the heart on the inside will release the power of God for your benefit. Words fired from a believing heart has enough power to take the enemy out. That bullet fired from that .45 has enough knockdown power to knock somebody out and destroy them. But it is until I use it. There was only one time that I ever thought I was going to have to do it. And I was being a courier. I'd taken stuff to the U.S. Embassy and I had a bracelet, you know, one of the steels around my wrist and hooked onto I'm carrying top secret stuff. And I come out of the embassy. I came out and back in the, how many remember when the Marines used to be outside the U.S. embassies and guarding the embassies? They don't do it anymore, but they used. How many of you remember that? And so I came out, and as I came out, the Marine there, and he said, hey, your vehicle's down the street there. You see? And I said, yeah, I see it, because I had a driver in a vehicle. And I start walking down the street, and I see three guys come out from behind a building, and they start to spread out. One stays here, and one goes here, and one goes over here. They're spreading out. And I say to myself, uh-oh, this ain't too good. You know? And so I'm walking on down the street, and finally I realize, hey, so I see over here one of these deals like they put up to block off stuff made out of concrete. I said, okay, that Marine behind me, I know he sees what's going on. I'll take this guy. I hope he gets that one, and then we'll both go to the other one. And I'm going to walk a few more steps, and then I'm going to pull my weapon, and I'm going to die behind that deal there, behind that concrete barrier. So when I reached down and I started pulling that 45 out, I heard that Marine behind me hit that bolt on his rifle, and I said, I knew he's with me all the way. And when both of us did that, and he must have raised it, because I don't know, I didn't turn around because I kept my eyes right on that guy. That's another thing. Whoever you're going for, I couldn't be concerned about these guys. I got to get the guy closest to me first. These guys I have to deal with later. Now, maybe one of them gets me, I don't know. But I got to deal with, and that's what you got to do when you're fighting the fight of faith, good fight of faith. You got to deal with the straight on problem. Oh, there may be some other stuff coming in from the side, but hey, don't distract it. If you do, you're done for. You're finished. I could not be distracted by these two guys. I had to stay on my target right here. I pull that weapon, and I heard him hit that bolt on that rifle, and those guys scattered. I put it back in my pocket. Somebody said, what would you have done? I said, I would have done exactly what I said I'd do. I'm going to fire at this guy and die behind that that concrete barrier, and then the fight is on. I use that as an illustration to try to get you to realize the fact that if you got to fire the word of God out of your mouth, that's your weaponry. And you've got to stay focused on the issue that is in front of you. There may be other stuff out here in your peripheral vision, but you can't be concerned about that. You got to get this before it takes you out, before you can get this over here. Have you understood what I'm saying to you? To fight the good fight of faith, you have to keep firing from a believing heart, saying with your mouth. Firing with your mouth. All right. Number four, act on God's word. Act on God's word. Now, James 2:14, you can read it there in the King James if you want to, but I want to read it first of all from the Phillips paraphrase. Now, what use is it, my brethren, for a man to say he has faith if his actions do not correspond with it? Now, my dad really, he liked the Weymouth translation on these 2:14 and 18 of James. In fact, he has messages called Corresponding Actions. And when I was in Kenneville Bible Academy, a junior, we had our Bible class, I wrote a whole paper on Corresponding Actions from these two verses, James 2:14 and James 2:18. Now, this is the Weymouth translation, and this is where James is talking about having faith with action and you having faith with no action. Here's what it says. What good is it, my brethren, this is 14, if a man professes to have faith and yet his actions do not correspond? Now, drop down to 18 there in Weymouth translation. Nay, some will say, you have faith, I have action. Prove to me your faith apart from corresponding actions, and I'll prove mine to you by my action. See, we have to learn to act. We have to learn to act on God's word. What am I talking about? I'm talking about shouting the victory before you see any change to your situation. Acting on the word of God by praising God for the answer because you believe it, yet you've seen no difference. Everything looks the same still. See, praise and thanksgiving and shouting in faith releases the power of God for your situation. Anybody getting anything out of this morning? I'm probably not telling you something you hadn't already known, but it's good to stir up your pure minds again. See, now I want to show you something here. Israel praised and thanked God before they ever got to the battlefield. Now you go, I got a whole sermon I preach on this, but I'm not going to preach a sermon. But 2 Chronicles 21 through 25, I'm going to read this. And when he had consulted with the people, that's King Jehoshaphat. If you notice, the enemies were coming against them. And they had called a prayer meeting, and the Lord told them they didn't have to send out a scouting expedition to find out where they at. The Lord told them exactly where the enemy was camped at, and he told them to go down there. And now, Jehoshaphat, before they start to march, he doesn't put the army out front. He puts the singers out front. He puts the frontline singers out there, the choir, who should praise the beauty of the holiness as they went out before the armies and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the people of Ammon, Mount Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in getting up the spoils because there was so much. I want you to notice, see here, they put the singers out and they were praising God as they were marching toward the battle. They didn't even have the battle people up there. They didn't have the army up there. And I'm sure some of the old generals said, "What do you think you're doing? You're putting the singers up there to march in front of us?" But you see, when they began to sing and praise the Lord caused them, the people that were coming against them, they started fighting. They had a fight and rose up and fought in their own camp until they killed one another off. When they got there, they didn't even have to battle. They didn't even have to fire an arrow. All that was left for them to do was to gather up all the spoils. Now, you have to study history to understand what I'm talking about. If you go back, when those countries would go out and they'd go out to battle, they would take with them all kinds of jewels and stuff to trade for food, and they took all that kind of stuff. They had it all there, but they didn't have to fight. They just started praising the Lord. Sometimes if you just learn to open your mouth and praise God, that's the best way to fight the good fight of faith. You can win the good fight of faith by praising God. You know, we need to realize that it's no different in this hour than it was for those Israelites. If we'll rise up with the knowledge of God's word and begin to raise our voice in praise and thanksgiving to God, the enemy will be defeated, and we can begin to rejoice and enjoy life because we know that we've won the good fight of faith. It's your fight, not mine. It's not your wife's or your husband's. It's not your friend or your buddy. It's your fight. You fight the fight of faith. Now, there is such a thing as agreement, but that's another thing. You're going to have to fight your own fight. I can't fight for you. You can't fight for me. Hello? Fight the good fight of faith. Hey, and a good fight is a fight you win. It's not a good fight if you didn't win. Hello? Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Father, help us, Father, all to understand that it's our responsibility to fight the good fight of faith. It's our responsibility to let the power of God come out of our mouth. It's our responsibility to take the devil down with our words out of our mouth. Father, I thank you that each of us will learn more than we have about this and continue to fight the good fight of faith. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. With your heads bowed, if you're in this place today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you don't even know what I'm talking about, so you can't fight the good fight of faith until you know Jesus. Or if you're here and you need to rededicate your life, or if you're here right now and you say, I go to church, but I don't know whether I've ever accepted Christ or not. Anybody on any one of those three invitations right there right now, anybody, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. Just raise your hand right now, wherever you're at, anywhere in the room. Raise your hand wherever you're at, anywhere in the room right now. I'm looking around the room. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, if you're here and you say, I would like to receive the Holy Spirit according to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Say, I'd like to have that experience of being filled with the Spirit today. Anybody? Raise your hand right now. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Well, everybody stand and let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. You got anything? You know what I'm saying? All right, let's sing then. Hallelujah.
So I will shout with the voice of triumph.
Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Praise the Lord. Remember all the announcements. They're right in here. Read them. Get involved with what's going on. Praise the Lord. Tonight, hey, Connection Team, go find our first-time guest. Connection Team, go find our first-time guest and take them to that special place to receive their special gift, okay? Praise the Lord. We're going to sing a chorus and they're going to dismiss you. Staff, go to the doors. Give me a chance to get to the door so we can all shake hands with you guys. That's where we're going to be. It's on the screen. If you want to see us, that's where we're at. Hallelujah. 6 o'clock right here. Amen. Remember, you can fight the good fight of faith, but it has to come out of your heart and you got to fire your weapon. If you don't ever fire your weapon, What's your weapon? Your mouth, saying what God said. Then you get something done. Amen? Hallelujah. There's Colonel over there, Colonel Moore, and he's retired from the Air Force. He flew to 16, I guess it was, 14, 15. He could be up there, and the enemy plane is there, but if he never fires those cannons out there on that wing, he might as well not even be up there. In fact, he ain't going to be up there long because the enemy going to get him. You got to fire your weapon. What is our weapon? Our mouth, speaking the word of God. Hallelujah. Hey, we'll see you 6 o'clock. God bless.